let all the blue skies go. Poison is the wind that blows from the north.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And you know what day it is. It's the day we have the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Good morning, Mike.
Hey,
welcome aboard.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Survived a storm and all the crazy last week, and now we're sort of in some sunshine. I'm having to adjust.
I want you to look ahead till Thursday or Friday. It may rain, may get a little rain in there, but it looks like maybe 70 degrees.
No, back to normal.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to go get my surfboard out. And
oh, here we go. Look out.
We hit the
Look
beach.
Look out, Pensacola Beach.
We hit the beach. But anyway, we made it through it.
We did.
And I think what we need to do, of course, before we go any further, is to thank our first responders and also thank people who may not get the credit that you normally get. And that is the folks from Public Works.
They worked so hard,
so many hours to keep our roads safe.
Mm-hmm.
And they need a pat on the back because they really, really did a good job. And I'm going to pat the mayor on the back, too. I think he had it all organized.
Mm-hmm.
We made it through it. And so good for all those folks with the city and the county who helped us get through this snowstorm.
Well, honestly, it came on us so quickly. With the hurricanes, we always have so much warning and so much lead time.
Right.
There wasn't a lot of lead time on this, and we're not equipped for this. And there's, I think, I talked about it yesterday, there's a certain level of denial amongst us. Like, oh, sure, there's going to be nine. Uh-huh. We think it's going to be, and it was. It was. It started coming down, and they were, it was
amazing.
It was something.
It stayed so long.
Right.
You know,
snowed for so long.
That stayed so long, but the snow stayed on the ground for so long.
Yeah.
It was just really kind of cool. You know, what we talked about, when was it? I guess it was last week, about the four Ps.
Yes, we did.
That
Protect your plants.
So let's do this.
Okay.
Here, let's do this, Meg. You ready?
Yes.
Real quick, then we'll get to some gardening stuff, too. But let's grade ourselves.
Okay.
Ready? First one was protect people. Okay, well, we just talked about that.
I get an A because I stayed indoors.
You get
this
an A because
this people stayed indoors.
But, you know, I kind of looked at my notes from last week. I said, you know, one of the things I had in there, protect people, was to tell them to stay dry. Those kids didn't stay dry.
No.
You know, I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. They had kayaks,
mm-hmm.
boogie boards,
floats,
cardboard boxes mm-hmm. going down these hills. And many of the hills they went down is something that we talked about last week and just had the best time.
It was great. Well, and I love the fact that the big kids were also sledding.
Oh, yes.
I saw a couple of big kids going down the hill, too. So
I did talk to a friend of mine who does some landscaping work, who's I guess his grandparents live in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave him one year when he was a sled.
I used to have a sled.
Yeah. And he said, I brought it to Pensacola, had it somewhere in the garage, and got it out. And he said those kids just couldn't, so they didn't stay dry. They were wet as they could be, but that is so cool.
I had a red flyer. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah. They had wagon.
Yeah.
With red flyers.
I had both of those.
Oh, really? That is so cool. Anyway, protect people. Once again, our city officials, county officials did a great job protecting people. And I appreciate that. The number two was protect pets. Not much to say there except that everybody took care of their pets. However, I just saw the videos of dogs.
Oh, so funny.
Who had never seen snow. And I think they were a little nervous. But, boy, once they got out there, they played in that snow and had the best time.
I love how they scoot their noses underneath. Like they get under trying to figure out, what is this stuff? They just sort of scoot their noses. It's so, so cute. And their tails are going 90 miles an hour.
Exactly. Anyway, that was fun. The third one was protect our plants. And, of course, that's where the Garden Line came in. And I saw all kind of creative wraps around plants. And so many people did what we recommended.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't just do the top of a plant. They did all the way to the ground. So some of that heat coming up from the ground would sort of keep that plant from being damaged. I do say this, though. I know so many of us tried to protect our plants. Some of the plants just couldn't be too big or too many.
It didn't sound like you did very well.
I didn't do very well at all. I really enjoy my backyard, around the patio and whatever, my tropicals, my crotons, mandevillas, hibiscus, bush daisies, just some great plants. And this year, they were spectacular. Just beautiful plants. Elephant ears.
Yes.
Elephant ears.
Gone
to the ground. Gone. But they'll come back. They'll come back. And lantana looked like you put a blowtorch to them.
Oh, no.
And I had just this huge yellow lantana growing. And it bloomed all summer long. But it's and it's not dead, because lantana is a pure, hardy perennial. And it will come back. But it'll come back slow. Mm-hmm. It'll come back slow. But one thing we need to tell folks, especially on the plants, the ones that are affected, is we all have a tendency, and we've talked on this before, we all have a tendency to want to get out with our pruners and say, okay, all right, I'm going to take this hibiscus and I'm going to prune it back halfway right now. Do it this weekend. Don't.
Okay, don't do it now.
Especially on citrus. Citrus, of course, I've always thought, and I may be wrong, the experts may tell me I'm wrong here, but 20 degrees is kind of the cutoff point where you have no damage and have some damage.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, you want to get out there and prune that damage off, but don't do it because you just don't know how much damage you've really got. And so as we get into the latter part of the winter, really get into the early part of spring, you'll want to take a look at it then. Then you can do some pruning and do the old scratch test, Meg. You know, get your, scratch the limb. Mm-hmm. And if it's green, you're probably going to be okay.
Oh, that's good to know.
If it's not, then you kind of keep going.
Right.
Keep going further down into the plant. So we just all need to kind of take a deep breath and maybe either, if you're like me and you have a mandevilla that is obviously gone. Obvious. I just got rid of it. It's sad, but it was nice. It had a nice summer.
Aww.
And next year we'll get some more. But if you have some that you think you can save and you're not sure exactly how much damage is done, don't touch it. Don't touch it. You might even want to go into late March and April before you make that pruning decision.
That's good to know.
So I think that's what we have to do. And, of course, the last P was protect our pipes. I did okay. I don't know about you.
Someone just texted in, and we also had said about the pool pumps.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I just ran my pool pump the whole time.
Did you really?
The whole time. Almost a whole week. Because you talk about it. If you lose that.
You're in trouble.
Get out your checkbook. Exactly. But I do appreciate. I don't know if that's the same person that clued us in on pool pumps last week, but we appreciate that because that's very, very important.
Yes.
We
also heard from Carolyn this morning and said that she said, can I plant a bird of paradise in my yard? If so, when and where? And she also sent a picture of a very big snowman.
Looking
like a bunny.
Bird of paradise. Bird of paradise is a fun plant. One thing that a lot of people try to do is to get it to bloom. I think I mentioned this one time, Nick. They just kind of do their own thing. Now, you can go out to Los Angeles, and they're growing out of the cracks in sidewalks. Blooming. It's just the way the climate out there. Here, our climate, I think, is, but I can't identify exactly what it is that makes them kind of not hard to grow, but makes them hard to get to bloom. So just do everything right. I'd put it in some filtered sun. Mm-hmm. It needs a lot of sun, but filtered sun, pine tree shade, for example, would be good. Do all the right things. Keep it watered. Fertilize it with a fertilizer for blooming plants. And eventually it'll pay off.
But
to answer the question point blank, I would not plant it right now.
Wait a little bit.
I'd wait just a little bit. Matter of fact, before the show's over, I've got some stats on when we can expect the last frost.
Okay,
the
good.
The date we can do that. Anyway,
all right.
We got to step aside here.
We can take a quick break right now. It's Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. I've got a question for Mike, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk and Garden Line today. Call in with your, or text in with your questions at 850-437-1620. So we got a great picture from Carolyn. Thank you so much. I can't tell if it's a bunny or a dog, but it's so cute because it's a snowman with the ears on top.
Oh, really?
So it looks really good.
I'll tell you, I saw some real creative snowmen in my neighborhood.
It was really great. But what was very funny was when they started to melt, somebody posted, and now I have a drunk snowman. Because it was sort of leaning akimbo,
sure.
You know, sort of side to side.
That's okay. Great.
So we did have some questions here, Mike. So let me see if we got, let's see. I had planned on moving an orange tree that was planted last spring. Even though it was covered, the leaves got bit. Should I wait to move it until it comes back in the spring? And that's from Steve in Escambia Bay.
You know what I would do, Steve? I don't think you're going to have a problem moving it. A lot of times when we move plants, we do a little pruning on them. And I really don't want you to do much pruning on the citrus, because really, overall, citrus doesn't require much pruning. It's just the nature of the plant. But I think moving plants from one place, from point A to point B, do better in the cooler months, because they just don't go through a shock of moving, which you try to do that. You try to move that tree in August, then you got some problems. But no, I think if you move it, and if you do it right, as Steve, I'm sure you know how to do, put a little peat moss in the hole, you know, water it good, maybe even let your hose come over and dribble on it for the first week or so, for an hour or so a day, and really get that watering in there deep. Plant it in the right location, which is going to be full sun. And I think you'd be okay. I really do.
Okay. Yeah. And then Karen sent in a text to remind us, when make an announcement about the event going on. It's now, believe it or not, just a couple of weeks away since this Saturday is February 1st. It's on the Saturday, February 13th.
Yes.
Is that a Saturday? February 13th, and it's an educational series. It's going to be at the Pensacola Garden Center, and they said that they've held this series for many years, since 1998. So the registration forms are available now at PensacolaGardenCenter.com or during business hours at the Garden Center, so you can go in person. They're going to have speakers, vendors, opportunity baskets assembled by the gardener and the Garden Center, Gardeners and Garden Center, and a 50-50 drawing. It's a $25 fee that includes lunch, snacks, beverages, and four sessions. So if there's any questions, here's a number. Get ready to jot this down. It's from Karen, 402-320-4458. 402-320-4458.
That's great. Those ladies do a great job. And one thing you may want to look at, if you're new to Pensacola and would like to get involved in the garden club world, if you will, I believe, and somebody may have to correct me, that there is a garden club that is really for newcomers, that you don't have to, you know about all these other ones, but there's one you can walk in and say, I'd like to be a member of a garden club. I think that's the way it works. But anyway, somebody straightened me out on that. But it's really nice for somebody who's new to Pensacola, because we are a little unique in what we do. There's no doubt about it.
Just to clarify, that's on a Thursday, February 13th.
Very good.
Okay.
Very good. Okay, now I've got an announcement here.
All right, good.
While we're doing community service stuff here. This is from the Pensacola Camellia Club. All right, on Wednesday, January 29th.
That's this Wednesday.
That is tomorrow.
I know, it's hard to believe,
I'm looking at my watch.
We feel like we lost a week with the snow.
And the theme of this event is called A Salute to the Winter Rose, which is the camellia, because it blooms in the winter, of course. It's going to be at V. Paul's Italian Restaurant.
Yum.
One of my favorites.
Yes, so good.
One of my favorites. It's a free class on everything you want to know about camellias. You can learn about camellia history, growth and care of camellias, fertilizing, disease control, and much more. And here we go. So this is tomorrow. Doors open at 4:30. Here we go. Happy hour price on domestic beer and house wine.
Okay.
All right. And draw a crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And after the demonstration, they say, please join us for dinner.
Which
would be a nice night out.
Absolutely.
For someone who's interested in camellias. Oh, it said, by the way, the city of Pensacola on-street parking downtown will not be enforced through Thursday, January 30th.
Perfect.
So that's pretty fine, a place to park.
Oh, perfect.
And there you are. That's the V. Paul's which, of course, is right downtown Pensacola, one of our favorite restaurants.
Very nice. And this is tomorrow.
This is tomorrow.
Okay,
January
very good.
29th.
Carolyn texted back in, it was a doggy.
Oh, really? Good for Carolyn. Absolutely.
Okay. Now we do have another question. Here we go. Can I spray lawn pre-emergent now or wait until?
Oh, that's a great question.
And somebody else had sent that in as well, so we've got that from two people this
morning. Yes, that is a great question. The date I always pick is February 15th. Now, hey, you know, more or less, February 15th, you know, the second, third week in February, even if you have to get into the end of February. But yes, because what you're trying to do is to get that pre-emergence on that lawn to keep the weeds from germinating. Once the weeds are up, putting that pre-emergence on doesn't do that much good. So, yes, you need to do it in February, if you will, or 1st of March, no question about it.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and the Garden Line today with Mike Wiggins. If you've got a question for Mike about gardening or landscaping or what you should and shouldn't do, he's got the answers for you. He is our expert. 850-437-1620.
Meg, I just wanted to kind of tag on to our discussion a minute ago about spraying the pre-emergence weed control and when to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-February is a great time to do it.
Isn't that far away now.
No, it is not. So, but the big deal I wanted to add on, and I know people heard me preach this sermon many times, don't put your pre-emergence on in the form of a weed and feed fertilizer.
We
don't like to do that because, it's a real simple reason, the weed and feed fertilizers generally contain a good pre-emergence weed control.
Mm-hmm.
But what they also contain, obviously, is the feed part, which is fertilizer. And you really do not want to fertilize your lawn in February. As a matter of fact, the experts keep coming at us saying, wait even till April or May, till that grass is totally out of dormancy, to put your fertilizer on.
Hmm.
Now, also they're saying you could come back and do the pre-emergence again in a matter of a couple of weeks. And I don't say a couple of weeks, let's say 6 to 8 weeks. But please don't go and use weed and feed fertilizer. One byproduct of using that fertilizer too early is you'll see that your grass will get these big yellow spots. I call it canary yellow, legal pad yellow, if you will. And that's just because that fertilizer has sent that grass growing up,
mm-hmm.
and it's the roots are not such that they can absorb the iron to get in there. So waiting on the fertilizer is smart. Using the pre-emergency mid-February is very smart.
So that's when you should start it, which is really a couple weeks away.
It's a couple of weeks. Hard to believe.
I know.
Because that's one thing about that pre-emergence. I like to have to spray it.
Mm-hmm.
Atrazine is a good one. Pendimethalin is a good one. Dimension is so. I like to get it on, you know, at the right time, but it doesn't feel like the right time.
Right.
It's February, and we can have nasty weather, not necessarily really cold, but just a nasty, you know, not nasty is a bad word.
Just cold.
Cold, yes. Cold and rainy. How's right, that? That's the best way to put it.
All right, we're going to have more tips from Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line and Pep Talk. And this is Meg with Pensacola's Expert Panel. And the number here to text in, 850-437-1620. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk with Meg and Mike Wiggins with the Garden Line. Good morning to you. If you've got a question for Mike, he is the man with all the answers on our expert panel, 850-437-1620. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. I'm doing very good. You were going to talk to Janet?
Yes. Janet sent in a great text with some pictures.
With the lantana.
Mm-hmm, and how she protected her plants.
And I'm very, very jealous.
Serious protection.
Serious protection with a doormat.
Yeah, yeah, which is smart. A big rubber doormat on top, which would exactly insulate.
Amazon boxes.
Yes, good for you.
Oh, I just can't recommend that plant more. If you've got an area in your yard that gets pure sun, and just you just can't irrigate it quite as much as you would like, lantana is for you. And just my personal recommendation, the dwarf yellow is the one that just, it's great. You put it in, it's kind of a little plant.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, as the summer goes on, it'll grow and grow and grow and just fill up a space in your flower bed. It's really a great plant. But the dwarf yellows.
Okay.
Now, the way Janet has got it covered in her picture she sent us, I would wager hers is a dwarf also. Maybe she could tell us that and what color it is. Because, you know, lantana comes in little, you know, different colors.
Right.
Kind of a multicolor, but the yellow itself is my absolute favorite. Okay, here's a question.
Okay.
A lot of people ask this time of year, when is the first time I could plant my tomato plant? When's the last last freeze or last frost in Pensacola?
Okay, do you know?
No. No, but I'm gonna get close.
Okay.
Okay, I'm gonna get close. Keep in mind, number one, we talked about when's the last freeze, but you gotta realize that you can get a frost in, say, 36 degrees. You can have a frost. So it depends on a lot of factors insofar as whether the wind and really what kind of concrete that's around it, trees and other structures and that type of thing. So what we're going to do, we need to look at what is the percent chance that there will be no more 36-degree nights. You know what it is?
No.
90% chance there will be no more 36-degree nights by March 27th.
Really? Okay.
March 27th. Now, if you're a gambler, here you go. There is an 80% chance that you will have a frost on February 23rd.
Well, that's very specific.
Very well. This guy's guessing just like we are. Okay. And then if you really are not quite the gambler, there's a 50-50 chance you'll have 36 degrees March 8th.
Okay.
Okay. So, take that for what it's worth. But really, I think the lesson here is the garden centers many times in, let's say, March, first second week in March, we'll have all these gorgeous annuals.
Right.
Just blooming. Absolutely beautiful. And you just get fired up. Or you get fired up, say, I'm going to put an herb garden in. I'm going to plant one tomato plant. I'm going to put some peppers in, that type of thing.
Right.
And you want to do it because they're all there on display. And you say, well, if they've got them on display, it must be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not so fast. If you really want to be as safe as you can be and as quick as early as you can be, I would peg that March 27th date.
Okay, I'm going with you because I'm going to get a bracelet that says WWMD. What would Mike do? So if Mike says, was it March 27th? Is that what you just said? Then I'm going with that.
That's 10%.
Okay.
20% is March 20th.
Mm-hmm.
30% is March 16th.
No, we're going with the 27th.
I am too. Okay.
There sold. You go. Sold.
Okay, but you know, we always laugh about this. We've talked about this on the Garden Line so many times, is that I had somebody tell me one time, and I've always watched it, that as you leave downtown, I know our regular listeners are saying, Mike, you're repeating yourself. As you leave downtown on I-110, half a mile, three quarters of a mile down on your right, on the east side, is a grove of pecan trees.
Oh.
Okay. When those pecan trees put on the slightest bit of new growth, springtime growth, because right now they're just sticks.
Right.
Slightest bit of new growth, freezes are over.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, you know, it's Pensacola. We could have some really warmer weather, say, in February.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean 80s and 90s, but, you know, 70s and that type of thing, which could prematurely put out some new growth on those trees. And I could be totally wrong.
I don't know. It sounds like you've been watching them for a few years.
I watch them every time I drive out in the spring. I do. And so, anyway, that's a fun way to look at it.
All right.
Really
so on the right-hand side of 110, going north on 110?
Going north on I-110
mm-hmm.
on the east side, on the right-hand side.
Okay.
Maybe half a mile, maybe a mile.
I confess I've never noticed them before, but I'm gonna have to look for them.
Take a look at them.
I'm going to look
for them.
Take
a look at them. That's exactly right. All right, very good.
Oh, someone just texted in. Don't forget, it snowed. This is interesting.
Uh-oh.
March 13th, 1983 in Scenic Hills, and there's a picture with a snowman. How about that? Yes. That's interesting.
That is interesting. Now, on our chart, there's a 40% chance on March 12th that you won't go below 36 degrees.
March 27th
that is really, really cool.
Yeah.
That really makes it close, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm, it sure really does.
So those folks that want to do that February planting or first week in March planting, don't forget that snow in Scenic Hills.
That's right.
That's exactly right. That is so good. Thanks for that. I appreciate you texting that in. That's kind of cool. Okay. Where are we going to go here?
Well, what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a little break. So let's do that, and we'll come back and regroup. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, with Mike Wiggins hosting The Garden Line with a plethora of fabulous gardening and landscaping information for you. If you've got a question for Mike, just text it in, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. Good morning, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And Mike Wiggins is here with The Garden Line. Here's the issue that I have when I'm with Mike. He starts telling me stories in between the breaks, and he gets me laughing. And the next thing you know, it's time to get back on the air and talk about gardening.
There you go.
So stop that, Mike.
I was gonna say, there was nothing funny about that, and my cell phone being out of service.
That's what we were talking about.
Anyway, okay, a couple things we need to talk about
here, sir.
Real quick. Time's running out.
Okay.
Don't forget the Florida Panhandle Planting Guide. Now, we've talked about things to plant after the frost.
Right.
You know, and what did we say? March 27th was our date. But don't forget, there's so many things that one can plant vegetable-wise in the cooler weather. And this is a chart put out by IFAS, Institute of Food and Agricultural Services, Sciences, rather, out at University of Florida. It's tied into our extension service.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, it's a long chart. It's 40 different vegetables.
Oh.
And it tells you, it's a graph that tells you when you can plant them.
No kidding.
Just an example. If you want to plant lettuce, January and February.
Really?
You can plant it, yeah. Potatoes.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me because that's underground.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see what they say about tomatoes. Tomatoes, he starts his in February. No, don't do it in March and April.
So. Remember, what would Mike do?
Yeah, well, don't go by that. Go by what Janet would do.
There you go. Janet's definitely on
her
the ball.
Her lantana survived.
Yes.
Mine did not. Or wasn't affected by the cold. They're coming back. All right. Anyway, Google this. Florida Panhandle Planting Guide. I just found it myself.
Florida planting.
A couple of weeks ago.
Florida Panhandle Planting Guide. Okay.
Put out by IFAS. So anyway, that's really kind of cool. One other thing I wanted to finish up from last week, Meg, if we could. We had New Year's resolutions that came from the Extension Service.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said last week, you and I did our own New Year's resolution for gardeners way back, you know, two or three or four
weeks. A little while ago, yes.
Yeah. And so we had a couple here that I wanted to mention to wrap this one up. Okay. One, just a review real quick. Try to accept more imperfections in your landscape.
Mm.
But what I tried to make the point was you can have a small problem that you may ignore because it's so small. But it could be chinch bugs, sod webworms, Rhizoctonia, brown patch fungus. That's small, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So you may have to pay attention to that. Don't accept that as something that's not a problem. because it could easily turn into a big problem which you're going to have to treat. And many times, if you treat it when it's just happening, when it's young, mm-hmm. you'll have better luck. So you can accept the imperfections. You got a weed here, you know, a little bare spot here, you know, about as big as the palm of your hand mm-hmm. in your grass. That'll cover over. Don't worry about that. But be aware of some of these other things. Be aware of scale. Look on your plants. It's got all the little white spots on it.
I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah. Then we use the ultra-fine oil. We do need not to ignore that one. Mm-hmm. That's important. So in any event, this is the deal about not about to accept more imperfections in your landscape. And they had one here, plant more native species. Well, that's cool. And there's a whole list you can find of what are native plants. But what I like to look at this is a great time to do it. Go out in your yard and look at the plants that were not affected by the freeze and the snow at all. And maybe concentrate on those plants.
Mm-hmm.
Walk your neighborhood and look at the plants that really are not affected. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a lot of dead stuff, but you're also going to see plants that, hey, it's no big deal that it went down to 15 degrees. And so those may be the ones you want to use. One of the landscape principles, and we never have, you and I have never done a show on landscaping principles. We need to do that.
Okay. Yeah, but it's a good time to do it.
Exactly. One of the landscape principles is you don't need to have many, many varieties of plants in your landscape. Concentrate on a handful, and the landscaping will look better. But look at plants like dwarf yaupons.
Mm-hmm.
Those are great. Crepe myrtles, evergreen giant liriope, ornamental grasses like muley grass and purple fountain grass, those type of things. So look at some of these plants that we know are, when it comes to cold weather, I hate to use the term, but they're bulletproof. They're not going to be affected. And maybe concentrate on those so you don't have to replace damaged plants all the time. And as a matter of fact, you can plant plants that have different colors insofar as variegated plants and then mm-hmm. green plants that gives you a color contrast with green without having to plant all the color. Now, I'm like you, Meg, and I like to plant colorful plants that I can enjoy. But if you really just want to keep it simple,
mm-hmm.
there are plants you can plant that are permanent landscape plants that have a variation in their appearance.
Do you have a favorite?
Well, I like number one, I like the Ilex. I say Ilex vomitoria. I promise you one time I wouldn't use that term. That's the dwarf yaupon. It's just a green plant, but it's got kind of a red tint to it.
Uh-huh.
If you look closely, I like the evergreen giant liriope, of course, which is green. The ornamental grasses are great. One of my all-time favorites because in the fall, I mean, it'll send up foliage, but in the fall, it's got that purple look.
Oh, pretty.
Yeah, when you go home, mm-hmm. you drive by the airport.
Right.
Landscaping, and in the fall, it's just gorgeous. Down near Veterans Park, there's mm-hmm. a lot of those planted. They are great. The lantana is great. It's a pure perennial, so you don't have to replant that every year, just like we've been talking about. Magnolia.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a magnolia, you can plant a magnolia. It's got beautiful white blossoms on it. And, of course, there's a variety of magnolia that is more upright growing than the old, what we call Magnolia grandiflora, which is the big one, which has its disadvantages
mm-hmm.
because it drops leaves all the time. But those are plants that you could plant that are not going to be affected by the cold. And so kind of pick and choose those. But walk around your neighborhood. And if you see a plant you don't know what it is, you know, knock on the door and ask your neighbor.
They
probably appreciate it.
Or take a picture of it.
Take a picture.
And then
of
you
it.
Can send it to us.
Send it to us, and we'll figure out what it
yeah.
is for you. No
yeah.
question. Okay, I got two more here of the resolutions that the state sent in. One, and I love this one, shop local nurseries.
Yes, support local business.
Support local business. That is what we should all do. I'm a little biased because I was a local business for 40
right.
years. But I tell you right now, we've got name a few, Pensacola Seed and Garden,
mm-hmm.
Werner Turf. I know they have people on staff that really know this stuff. And they can help you pick and choose. And I had a friend, he says, he's from out of town, lives in Chicago, has moved down here. He says, I'm not sure what to plant, Mike. I said, well, I can recommend some stuff, but let's you and I go up to Pensacola Seed and Garden or Werner's Turf, and let's just walk the aisles and see something you like. Then, of course, I will tell you, or the folks there can tell you, that it's really good for us. Exactly.
Great. Okay. Well, all right. We've got one more to go, right?
One more to go.
All right. Now we're going to come back with that right after the break.
Perfect.
This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, 850-437-1620, and the Garden Line. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620 is the number that you can text in your questions for Mike Wiggins and the Garden Line. So we've got a couple minutes left. You had another resolution you were going to tell us about.
Yes, I did.
One
and
more.
That, and this is an easy one.
Okay.
Keep in mind, one of the best resources we have, I mean, our tax money pays for this, is the Extension Service.
Yes.
Extension Service. Beth Bowles is our extension agent, but they've got a lot of people out there. I always like to leave the phone number, 475-5230. That's the number of the Extension Service. They're very good. I'm not sure exactly how they handle, if you've got a problem in your yard, let's say a brown spot, and you want to know what's all about, you can take it up to the County Extension Service, and they will help you figure out exactly what that is.
Really?
I'm not sure what those hours are when they do that.
And you can just take it up there, and they'll analyze it.
You've got to take a good sample. If you've got a brown spot in your yard, you don't want to just take the brown.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go on the edge of the spot where the problem is active.
Okay.
And you can do the same for your local garden centers, too.
Mm-hmm.
Once they see that, it's like sod webworms. It's so funny. Not so funny, but it's a fact. Sod webworms attack your lawn. It looks like a goat has been eating your grass. Oh, they're all notched and all that. So back in the day when we were in business, people would bring samples in, and you could, from here to the street, you could see it.
Say,
I know what you're bringing in.
Oh.
I know what it is. I know what to do.
But
the point is, a sample like that, like the pictures that people send us,
mm-hmm.
we can really, really, you know, do a better job of saying what's going on
mm-hmm.
with pictures or even samples.
Right, okay.
Exactly.
And so, you can always send those straight to us at 850-437-1620.
No doubt about it. Now, Mick, let me just kind of really quick, a lightning round here.
All right.
Of things we need to cover.
Okay.
We need to hit the checklist for winter one more time.
Yes.
Because there are some things we can do here. We need to have a discussion on roses.
That's right. You mentioned that last week, too.
We need to have a discussion on shade trees and on fruit trees.
Okay.
We've got a lot to talk about
we
on the
do.
Garden Line. And next week we'll begin that and start again.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks,
the Garden
Meg.
Line, Mike Wiggins, who's so awesome, is just the best host ever and the best expert ever for the Garden Line. We'll be back again next week and also pick it up on our podcast, which is on newsradio923.com. And we have an encore on Saturdays.
That's right.
Listen in.
That's right.